integers are whole numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., and we have negative integers. And so they're one sort of set of numbers, but obviously there are other numbers than integers. There are fractional numbers. So you can kind of imagine extending our ideas of numbers beyond integers or whole numbers, and we can move on to fractions. For example, for this, one tenth, etc. So numbers you cannot represent these with integers. Of course, you can represent them as a ratio of two integers in particular fractions, but not as individual integers. Between, in a sense, between. For example, 4/5 is obviously between 0 and 1, for example, same with 1/10. But we can go even further. Hey, while we're extending things, we can move on to real numbers. And so these include integers, but they might be numbers, so for example, that you cannot represent as in a simple fractional form like this or as an integer. So now we can talk about two transcendental numbers, pi. E square root of 2. Etc. All sorts of numbers. So, while we're having fun, let's not stop at real numbers, but let's even extend our idea of numbers. And the way we'll actually do that is we'll kind of think of another dimension of numbers, and that will give us imaginary numbers. So, we can kind of think. Kind of think of all the real numbers as being on an axis. So we could have the origin of this axis here in 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. But we might have this point, 0.5, 4, 3, 7, 2, 9, etc., etc. So that's in between. Obviously 1 and 2. So these are real numbers, but as you know, that's not the only dimension we can have. We can kind of look at introducing another dimension up here. So another dimension of numbers. And so, well, this is a different dimension, so we can't just put the ordinary numbers there. Question?
No?
With this another dimension, so we can't just put the ordinary numbers there. We have to put some other notation. So let's actually use the letter I just to know there's a different dimension. So I'll talk more about what that is, and you've seen it before, it's what Michael had. But so if we have one I here, we have 2 and 3 and 4, and then minus I here, minus 2i. Minus 3i. So we've again just expanded our sense of numbers. So this is analogous to going from integers to real numbers. And just as if we could have a Cartesian diagram, you can get any point on it. You could say this point here, and it has a certain x coordinate and a y coordinate. So this number that we're representing by this position does too. When it's 1 unit across here, that's x coordinates, and 2 units up. That, or 2i units up, I should say. And again, I'll talk a bit more about what I is, but we could represent a number that's really the x plus the y part. So that number in this case would be 1 plus 2i. So we've added this extra dimension of numbers, if you like. And this is incredibly useful in physics. There's many, 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 many practical uses. And again, just any point on D you can specify by specifying the real number plus this other dimension number that it corresponds to. So this kind of expansion of numbers. So the question arises, obviously, what is I? And turns out it's very, very useful to... So to get to that, let's think about taking the square roots of numbers. So obviously the square root of 4 is 2. Square root of 2 is, well, it's 1.41 something with a. And normally when we think of so normally whenever we think about taking the square root of something, we think of it being at least a non-negative number. So, you know, 0 is the lowest, we can go and take the square root of 0 is just 0. And but let's be a bit, bit daring, and let's consider, say, taking the square root of a negative number. So it's kind of an unusual idea, and I remember my teacher telling me at some time, well, you cannot take the square root of a negative number, and that's because there's no number that you can square, and you can get back a negative number. Because normally if you square something, you get a number that's either zero or positive. If you multiply something by itself, you get a positive number, at least a non-negative number. So that's true for if you limit yourself to ordinary numbers. If you do limit yourself just to real numbers along the plane there, any number you square will give you a positive number. So it doesn't make sense, or a non-negative number, zero. So it doesn't make sense to look at taking the square root of a negative number. But we've kind of expanded the territory we're looking at here, and we're looking at numbers that have i's in them. And in this case, the square root of a negative number, it's going to be a kind of weird thing. It's not very intuitive what it is. So let's just give that a special symbol. So, and let's just define that to be I. And that the I is what I mean by here. So it's kind of strange that we can do this, but again, we just expand the idea of what numbers we're looking at. And we just, and it's so special, and it's actually just an incredibly useful thing to actually do this. So in some sense, we don't really know what we're doing. We don't really know what the square root of negative 1 is. But let's just define it. Let's just, as a definition, the square root of negative 1 equals I. And again, that's an incredibly important formula. So I would go home and tattoo it on my forearm tonight just to remember that if you do not know this. So we put an asterisk next to it. So that's the case. So this kind of defines I. It's like a definition. So if I is equal to that, we square I, we square the square root of negative 1, and we just get negative 1. Makes sense. So I squared negative 1, very important concept. And I multiplied by minus I, well, that's equal to the minus of I multiplied by I, which is a negative of I squared, but we already know that's minus 1. So it's a negative of negative 1. Two positive negatives make positive, gives you plus 1. In that case. So we're just playing around with this new number we create. And graphically, the way you can think of it, you can either think about it as the definition, what defines I, and really know what it is. Or also you can think of it, we're expanding our scope, and we're looking at, in a sense, two dimensions of numbers are going away to the right. And so this number is called, Michael, I think, mentioned this before, an imaginary number. And so if we have a number that has, this is a real number. and it has an imaginary number. So you have to agree, it's pretty complex. It's got this real bit and an imaginary bit. So we call it a complex number. So and so I understand you've all looked at the math primer and you've seen that and you've memorized it line for line. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. Okay, fantastic. So you all would have seen, I think this is just to make sure the notation is right. So if you look at that, the math primer which I just happened to have here, you'll see.
Is that the question?
Yes.
In the math problem, there's some things that are three, like an integer with three lines. Does that mean it's just like a fact or a line that it's three lines?
So it's used for different things. Often it's is equivalent to. That's often what it's used for. It's probably. I think it depends on the concept, context. If you can show me an example, I can just.
Where the time I and the math
problem. And they're basically the same. Oh, right. So I think that's rather a sort of definition rather than saying kind of a definitional thing. I think that's what they're using it. Okay, so it's defining the imaginary unit I and I is equivalent to. So in the sense.
You're not saying that A is equal to 2 in that case, it's always equal to negative 1. Like a constant, basically.
Yeah.
It's always equal to negative 1.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yeah, you can think of it as a constant. Yeah. Good point. So, okay, so a complex number. So it's got this sort of a real number and an imaginary component. So it's pretty complex. And about A and B, so what are A and B? They could be any real numbers themselves. So that could be, A could be 2, B could be minus 3, for example. And so, I guess in the example above, 1 plus 2i, in that case, A is 1, and B is 2. So this is an example of complex number. U equals... So again, really, really, really useful, as we'll see in quantum physics as we go along. So, okay. And we talk about this as, so this is a complex number here. This is just the real part of it. This is a real number, so we call this the real component. But real component is just too long a word physicists to write, so often it's just the RE there. And this is called the, this BI is the imaginary component. And again, that's just way too long a term to write, so often we just represent that by the first two letters. Real and the imaginary component there. Okay, so I think I've done enough talking for a while. So does everyone have their whiteboards? Great. Okay, time for some whiteboard fun. So I'm going to put just a few warm-up questions to refresh your minds. And the teachers are going to help you out with this, so if you could have a look around, see how everyone's going with this. Okay, so I'm going to write up a couple of questions. What I'd like you to do is do your working on paper and then write the answers nice and big on your whiteboard. So this will give you just a couple of minutes to do that. So talk to the people around.
Calculate. me and you can.
Okay, I'm skipping 2 minutes for those.
He wrote the photo on the board.
Sorry?
He wrote the photo on the
board.
What? First photo on the board.
Well, yeah, you have to look across. That's part of the problem. You have to know the right place. Okay, so now would be that would be a perfect time to have a look around and see. There's no proof that it's a plain click, but it turns out to be. And I think the simplest, most natural thing you could do is just put all the functions together and that's what you get out. So it's a bit kind of not very rigorous, but I think it's very interesting that you do get out just from dimensional analysis. There are other ways to kind of go. I mean, you can get that number, I'm sure there are lots of other methods to verify that it's the right number. It turns out that is the introduction to the easiest way to get through. But yeah, that's the point. You can't take one thing. But you just got that result. That's what the problem is. So that means the challenge is for you to join the that causes space and time to fluctuate, and those fluctuations in a sense blow up, or break space and time down, and it just happens at the scale at which they break the down is about 10 to minus 5 meters. So that would be that would be one of the effects on that. Okay, 2 seconds. 1 second. 0 seconds. Okay. Could everyone put up their whiteboard? Thank you. One, two, and that's one. imaginary, so that's the first one. Second one, minus I, and then 3.1, 4 is exactly there, 2.3 is exactly there.
I believe it.
I. So that's that one. So great. So it looks like everyone is getting the hang of complex numbers. So what we will do now is, so just wait for Michael to go past. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So Michael's ready. So Michael has baked us cookies.
Fresh fruit. It's hard to bake fresh fruit.
Oh, okay. He chopped them from a tree and
glued them myself.
Glued them, yeah. So we'll have to take a break. We'll come back to all the complex numbers.